Yeah.
It's wearing me out, man.
Oh, absolutely.
We haven't seen each other in a while.
I've been here.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago.
Thanks to Murray.
Yeah, don't call it a throne. Now he's been expected.
He does anyway.
Because if they fall down 6 inches, they become a noose.
Careful of what?
Halos. Careful of halos, because if they fall down 6 inches, they become a noose.
Yeah.
You probably heard that one.
No, I haven't heard that, so.
Well, now put that in your little book of sayings.
Peg's granddaughter came in with bracelets with her name on it to be a name tag at the Thanksgiving table. Yes.
Mark and Rachel, Mark and Esther, and Fitz came to
And Stephen.
Okay, I told you sent one.
What?
It's on, right?
It's on.
A little too loud?
Mm-hmm. No.
Speak quietly.
I will not speak too loud.
Right.
Yeah, speak softly for your mistake. There we go. So.
Just don't move.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. If I move, I can handle that. Lo and behold, I think that the rapture occurred for that teapot, and it got rejected, and it came back. So,
I assume somebody broke it, they just requested
it. Last thing came up?
Yes.
It was missing last Sunday, right?
Yes.
Or somebody bought it anyway.
I think that's probably what happened, but that's all right.
Really? Is that new?
Take a picture of it and compare to see if it's
you what?
The same brand.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Compare to see if it's the same brand. Take a picture of that.
Yeah.
One at home. See if it's the same brand. The one we had here, the same as I had at home.
It's just odd because we have all the security now, and it's like now the building's being used, and now when things are broken or missing, it's just like, okay. I feel like every other week, I'm like, okay, this is missing. Frank, check this and see, you know, is it the school? It should make sense. And I know the school wasn't here this past Monday.
Oh.
So it's either someone of us, or maybe the Hispanic church, or the Marshall East church. So it's just like, oh, jeez.
I didn't do it.
What
should we
think? Yeah.
I don't even think
one.
It's
in
my car.
So, big thanks to, Mimi for all the work that she did over the last, I guess, 2 days in decorating the church. She really likes doing that. So less work for us this coming Saturday at 9. What'd you say?
I haven't been in there yet.
Yeah, that's the bathrooms, the foyer.
I haven't been in the bathroom.
What?
I haven't been in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. The foyer, the opposite, all the decorations up on the stage. So yeah. Just kind of put up some garland, and we'll take one of the trees, probably the big tree, and put it in here. Set it up in here on Saturday.
Such a short season between now and Christmas.
I know, it's Thanksgiving, so late this year.
Everybody get their decorations up? Most of them? They're gone. So how was the land of fruits and nuts?
It was very, very well. God was so gracious. God was invited to pray, and
no issues.
There were no issues.
And down there was Mark and Esther.
Mark and Esther and their
family. Don and Carol.
And Stephen Bell and their family.
Stephen Bell
and my sister and her husband. And she has two daughters. One daughter isn't married. The other daughter is married and has two children.
Did you have a house you stayed in, or stay in a hotel or what?
Don and I stayed with my sister and her husband. And each one of our children had an Airbnb and one of them stayed at a
hotel. Okay. That's good. So.
Great. He's 13 now.
Good, good, good. All right, well, let's pray and we'll get started. I think we need to lower this. Anyway, adjust the volume a little loud. How about now? Is that better?
Yeah. Say again.
Hello, hello, hello.
That's good.
Very good.
Oh.
Excellent. So how was your Thanksgiving? I know what how Carol was and those land of fruits and nuts.
Right. We had 35 people at our house.
Wow. 35 people?
Yes, that was
a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Who was there?
Everybody.
That's not, okay.
Family.
Specifically, who was there?
So all of our family and then their families. So we invite, you know, like our nephew's wife, parents, and brother and girlfriend came. So it's a, yeah.
It was a party.
Yeah, it was nice. It was packed, but it was nice.
Okay. Didn't have to build a fire.
It's too hot, huh?
Yeah,
yeah,
open
windows, actually, yeah.
That's
the
good
thing.
People
who
Marie? Thanks to you.
Yes, it was very nice.
We had three turkeys.
Very nice. I mean, we only had like 18 people.
Did somebody?
Only 18 people.
Was that it? Ron and Sarah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got it. Thanks.
Nicolette was there.
Yeah.
Some of our family, some of their family.
This is the first Thanksgiving with a baby or not?
Yes.
Yes.
She was definitely the highlight of the party, wasn't she?
She was.
She had two good babies.
How she not?
She doesn't have stranger danger, but she does not like Rodney.
She
does
not.
Like
no.
Oh, that's hard.
He cried. She cries every time.
He looks her direction.
Roberta?
I went up to my son's place, and it was my son and my granddaughter and her boyfriend and his parents and his little brother. So there were seven of us.
Seven of you.
And believe it or not, when we got ready to eat, my son said, I know not all of us are here are religious, but Mom, would you like to say grace?
Well, there you go. That's
little,
time of year.
Little slivers.
Little slivers of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How was yours?
Good. We had invited Devin over, Devin Schmidt, mm-hmm. and then Jacob was up there while she didn't come, and Liddy came up from school, and David and Eric and I, so it's kind of one of the nice benefits, as much as I hate to say it, is being so far away from your family now that my parents have passed away, but as these events become more manageable, you know. The day after, we did go down and Liddy was in town, and we took our mother-in-law and got to cut down the tree. And then that night, Erica decorated it. So basically, I did the outside without she'd be inside. So we're all decorated for Christmas. Mark, we pick him up next Sunday at like 2 o'clock to get in or something like that.
Oh, fun.
He'll be here for about 10 days.
Is Lydia home now for a thing?
No, she goes back down, and then she will come back up, I think, the 13th, okay. Something like that. So this will be the first Christmas day without the whole family, because Mark will be in Ohio to go back. So, yeah. It's nice and cold. Weather gets chillier.
This
so, yeah.
is the first time I've seen frost.
Yeah, it's been a while. Exactly. So, we have been going through, obviously, the Gospel of John. And I have thrown, I forgot to send it to you, I promise you, I'll send it out later today. This is all the notes I've given you. I'm going to send you out an updated one. I have, at this point in time, just about 35 pages of notes. Okay, so it's a small book. As I was thinking about this, instead of giving you something new today, and I don't want to obviously go over everything, let me just ask you a few questions, and then I want to hear, I don't want to give you more information without you at least taking some of it in and being in you. Does that make sense? You can recall it from your memory. You are processing it, you are living it out, you're applying it. Does that make sense? So, the basic thing that I think you can need to know, other than the theme verse, which is of course what? Not, where is it located? John
20:31.
31, okay. These things were written in order that you may believe. Okay? That's the whole purpose of this book. That is why some people recommend, if you're an unbeliever or a new believer, start out with the Gospel of John, even though it's kind of hard to follow. Now, how is it broken down in three sections? Do you remember?
Days.
In an outline form, yeah. There's three outline form. There are three sections of the Gospel of John. So if you don't know it by now, just look at me. Don't go searching through your notes. Okay, and then you probably want to write this down. The first 18 verses are theology. Remember that? That's John chapter 1. That's the theology. Then he goes into, you know, kind of his first witness. But chapters 2 through 12 are his public ministry. Basically, the first chapter is theology, and he introduces John the Baptist, okay? He proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Chapters 2 through 12, okay, are his public ministry, and then chapters 13 through 18 are his private ministry to the disciples. And then the last two chapters are what? His death and resurrection. Yeah. All that.
So 13 through...
Let me make sure I'm getting that right. So... Here we go. Chapters 2 through 12 are his public ministry. Chapters 13 through 17 is his private ministry in the upper room to the disciples. Okay? And chapters 18 to 21 cover his death and resurrection. But chapter 1, which is really the 18 verses, even though he introduces John the Baptist, is the deep theology that we went through. The Shekinah glory, all of that. Okay? So basically, I'm going to break it down in easiest form. Chapter 1 is a lot of theology. Chapters 2 through 12 are his public ministry. 13 through 17, his private ministry in the upper room to the disciples. Okay? And then chapters 18 to 21 are his death and resurrection. That's a basic breakdown. Okay? Now, there are obviously witnesses that he brings forth. Okay? And what we have gone over so far, and you need not even finish in chapter 2, are sets of witnesses. Okay? There are three sets of witnesses that he, John the Baptist, talks to in his testimony. Who were they?
Sanhedrin.
We gave them all Fs. Remember that to help you remember them?
The faithful.
The false religious leaders. The faithless crowd. And then the faithful few. Remember those? I'm trying to get them in with all Fs so they're easy to remember. And what was significant about what the testimony of John the Baptist was to the religious leadership? In essence, what did he say? And Roberta got this right last week.
He's here.
Behold him. He's here. Okay? Then he says to the crowd, look at him.
Yeah.
Behold him. Look at him, right? Behold the Lamb of God. Then he says to the disciples, there are just two of them. Good. What is it?
Follow him.
Follow him. You guys got that? That was the testimony of John the Baptist. Okay? Then we have the testimony of the disciples. The two disciples that were disciples of John the Baptist that John said, don't follow me anymore, follow him, were who? Andrew and I think it was John, the Apostle John. They go and talk to who?
Peter.
Peter and
Philip. And the last one they talked to is Nathaniel. All right? And Nathaniel was unique because he was what?
A true Jew.
A true Jew, meaning he was already a believer. That was what was rare. Okay?
So he was an Old Testament true believer.
Yeah.
That had faith because he was looking to the Christ who would come to save him.
And so it didn't take a lot to convince Nathaniel because what did he say when Jesus came to him? He'd already heard about him from
the Son of God.
Behold, oh my gosh, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And so, yeah, so that's the testimony of John the Baptist and the testimony of the some of the disciples, okay?
Now, are there I know this is theoretical, but are there probably other disciples or other people that were true believers that just aren't referenced in the Word?
From this, I'm sure that there may have been, but from this testimony, from this gospel, no.
Okay.
Okay. And all of this is happening in what time frame?
4 days.
3 days.
About 4 days. And then the wedding happens about 3 days later, and it's about a week, the whole week's time, and there's the wedding. Okay, and that was his first miracle. Okay? So you have these 120 to 180 gallons of water that was used just to clean yourself and dishes and stuff like that. And he supernaturally creates wine out of nothing. He creates all this wine. It's the best tasting wine ever. And the witnesses to that were who?
The servants.
And the head waiter. And
his mother.
And the disciples that were with him. Because that particular miracle was for who?
Excuse me.
For the disciples, so that they would believe. Okay? They began to believe in him.
So they were still in the position where they were still seeking, and they hadn't...
Watch this for... I was reading this.
Completely been converted yet.
So you're going to read on in chapter 2 and in other places that zeal for thy house consumes me. They remembered that. I'll destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. When did they realize that he was speaking about his body? After his resurrection. So they were with him for 3 years, and they were just continuing to really believe in him. So believing in him is obviously of a process. Okay. They would need all those confirmations, all of those encouragements as they would continue to do it, because how strong must their faith be? Because what was going to happen to them?
They
were martyred. Okay? And so they had to really believe. So.
Is that where that verse comes in? Did not our hearts burn within us?
That's the road to Emmaus.
Road to Emmaus, yeah. That's different. Yeah,
right, that's different. So, the disciples, the servants, the head waiter, all of them experienced that miracle. The only other thing we talked about that seemed to get some of you emotional, particularly your mothers, is a change in Jesus' relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
Erica teared up when I was talking about this, and we talked about it when we got home, but the fact that his relationship, it really needed to change, because she would have been, I think, crushed if she... He was an authority over her now. She was no longer an authority over him. He was all about his father's business. That's why he calls her a woman. Okay.
That was a new revelation for me.
No, it was for me too, as I studied it. So, yeah. He's all about his father's business. He only does what his father tells him to do. He only speaks the word he hears from his father. He only does the will of the father. All of that. Okay. Any questions so far? So we talked about him being the light of the world and what that means. We talked about him displaying his glory and that Shekinah glory him being light and existing in light. We went in depth about that, Moses and all that. That's who he is. That's what they saw, transfiguration. But they also beheld his glory in a different way. And what was that? The disciples beheld his glory.
Are you talking about the Mount of Transfiguration?
No, we already talked about that in chapter 1. But chapter 2, we talked about another type of glory that they saw. They said, we beheld his glory. What was that? It's not just the transfiguration, seeing him exist in light, who he really is.
It was a manifestation of his works.
That miracle. We beheld his glory. That was the first sign. See that? We beheld his glory. Chapter 2. Turning the water to the wine. And they believed in him even more. Okay? So now, let me ask you this. Every Sunday when we come here, I'm always, as a good teacher would do, or any teacher would do, you kind of go over some stuff, and then you teach something new. And so why do I go over stuff over and over again?
Because we don't remember.
It's the same thing for me. Okay? If I was in your position, wasn't teaching, I'd have to, you got to put an effort. I had to study my teachers, professors, and really get down what I thought was important and kind of stroke their ego. They're going to probably test out their notes more than they're reading, and of course that always was the case, and that's how I got through college.
But it's also said repetition builds retention.
Right, and so we're older. I see my mind slipping, to be honest with you. So
do we.
Yes. So. Yeah, I can imagine that too. So.
Yeah, there's that.
Now that being said, okay, how do we get it from your mind to your heart? I can't do that for you. How do we do that?
Meditate.
Meditate on it.
Meditate.
So if I keep going over it and over, you keep writing the same stuff down every Sunday, either we're just taking notes now and it goes in a file and is opened up next Sunday, and meaning is having absolutely no impact in your daily life, then it's just, this is a lecture, and this is not what it is. This is not a lecture. So I need to know what are you remembering? How is it applying? You apply it to your life? You remind me of me in fifth grade because I asked a question and whenever I didn't want an answer, I was looking down the book. They did not want him to look at me because he couldn't pick on me. The main mistake of looking up, oh, geez, now I have to say something.
I dropped something on the floor.
Yes.
Okay. Right now it's just opening up. I'm trying to absorb it because it's opening up more than, his relationship with his mother and the wine from nothing filled to the top. I mean, I'm thinking about, the fact that his disciples still, they struggle to believe throughout his whole ministry. I mean, he even got frustrated with it.
So let me just, let's just grill ourselves, okay? Are you thinking about it by a show of hands? We're going to embarrass ourselves. Are you thinking about it at all during the week?
Yeah, I have. Maybe not every day, but I do.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay, then what are you thinking about? Because what I do is I will pray through it. I'm preparing it too, but I will also pray through it. And praise him for what I learned about him being the Shekinah glory here. And all of that. That way I can make it somewhat more daily. And if I pray through it, it's going to get in here more and more and more. Okay? So, What do you, have you thought about, Roberta?
It's hard to remember.
Sure.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. I mean, I gotta be honest. I take this stuff home and I set it down and then I go about my life. Mm-hmm. And I work and then I take a nap. Which I should probably be doing this instead of taking a nap.
Well, I would argue against that, taking a nap to get the energy and then go, that's what I do. Yeah. If you ever watch a video of me during the week, you can look up me in the library. I'm studying, I'm tired, this is a waste of time. I will go and I will lay down.
Yeah.
And I heard years ago a pastor, very famous in Detroit, 40 years, he asked what was the secret to longevity ministry, and he said he just took a nap every day.
Well, I had to live a long time then.
So what are you...
I feel like I owe you, you know, I should not feel that I owe you an apology.
No, you don't.
I owe God an apology.
Right.
For not being in His Word like I should be.
Well, it's not good. That's true, but I'm asking you about this particular study. Because there's also, for me, it's a study, and it's also a sermon preparing, it's also my own personal time with the Lord. That's three things in a male brain that hurts. You know?
And you got to compartmentalize,
yes,
all of it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of organization.
So what are you thinking about, Carol? I appreciate the honesty, but now we know what to do with Roberta. Because she's going to share next week.
Excommunicate me?
No.
It would help if I had some of your notes instead of this mess.
Well, I did send you my notes. That's the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have those. Yeah. But I only got them about 8 weeks ago, so I haven't had a chance to.
Okay. Well, let me give you guys a hint then. Whenever I'm teaching and you learn something new, okay, and maybe it's like a little bit of a mini aha moment, you didn't know that, and you get kind of excited about that, what do you think that is in you?
The Holy Spirit.
So then who's speaking to you? Are you going to explore it further, or are you going to file it away and it'll be gone?
Well, for me, it helps that Don isn't in this class, and so I can share some of those ahas with him, because yeah. That's what happened. I said, oh, guess what? Talked about, you know, woman, what does that have to do with me? And, you know, was able to talk to him about all that. So that cemented that further in me of what that was. But because my other reading is not this, and that's on a day-to-day thing that I go through and try to get done, I tend to do that more than this.
And all I'm asking you to do is, if you have a moment where you learn something, you get a sense in your spirit, and this is what I've been hammering on all of us since the moment I got here, you have to respond. It's a relationship. You respond to His voice, His leading, in the variety of ways that He speaks. I don't want you following rules. I don't want legalists. I will oppose that. But I want you to respond to that. That is God speaking to you. Okay?
Pastor, can I hear something?
Sure.
Well, when I arrived here in Texas, I received another revelation about how I should spend the money that God has blessed me with. It's through Dave Ramsey. He's an author of books about finances. Mm-hmm. And he has also a toll-free number where people get financial advice. So what revelation I receive is that well, it's been a long time, since 2011, that the Lord has prompted me that I am vain, that I buy a lot of clothes that I don't need. And so that's like 2011, how many years ago now? So from now on, I said, Lord, I will, according to Dave Ramsey, people are poor because we don't spend our money intentionally. That when we do things, it has to be mindful. Do we need it? Is it important? So that's another revelation that I receive. to, not just because it's cheap, but do we need it? It's important. So I said, Lord, okay, there's another revelation that I learned from you, that the blessing that we receive, we're just a manager. That we have to be aware if what we spend is really important. Do we really need it? So I said, Lord, help me to be mindful on how I spend the blessing that comes from you. So that's another revelation that I receive, even though I know that I am wise in spending the money, but there are times that I spend it because it's cheap and I don't need it.
Yeah. Marie, you've raised your hand. You raised your hand that you missed it
off. Well, every week is a little bit different. So, yeah. I mean, in the beginning especially, it's interesting to think about John the Baptist and him coming out, this group of people that grew up knowing the Messiah was coming, but yet you have to keep being reminded over and over and over and over again. You still don't believe who he is. And, you know, that kind of perplexes me in a lot of ways, thinking if he was right there in front of us. But it does tie into the people you meet every day, and you're trying to explain to them who Jesus is. The thing about Mary, I actually kind of had thought about that before a little bit, because I kept thinking about all my friends who are Catholic and look at Mary as a deity of some sort. And she's a mother. That's it. She is Jesus, but she was a vehicle. She was a, you know, a means to an end. So it didn't surprise me to think about. I didn't really correlate it that way exactly, but it didn't surprise me to hear that, you know, he's trying to get her point across that, you know, their relationship is different. But I do think about that. You know, I have a lot of time to think when I'm working because I'm answering a lot of phones. I'm spending a lot of downtime. So, but it's interesting to tie it all together. And John always makes me think of how people just are thick-headed, not just us. You know, we might not remember stuff. These people could not, even the people that believed had a hard time believing. Mm-hmm. Even they had doubts, even though they were seeing him, how affected they were by everyone around them, and making sure that we are not affected the same way. I'm not affected the same way.
I think they're easier than they do, because we're looking back in history. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better term, let's say Roger Ekedal is Jesus Christ. Would we really believe in him? Because he doesn't look like a God man to me. And there was nothing about his appearance, you know, that Jesus that stood out. Okay? And even after seeing him for who he is in the Transfiguration, they still have had more to believe. You know? And so, yeah, all of that.
Sometimes they should.
I don't know about you, but I have multiple Bibles.
I do too.
And everything they had was, they had a memorized. I mean, other than going to the, you know, synagogue or whatever and hearing, they didn't have their own personal.
But they didn't have to translate it all. It was all in the original language. So we're.
But, I mean, they still had to have it memorized. They had to remember it to repeat it.
So you, what was your aha moment, the thing that you learned and stood out to you? We'll start, Colette, with you. And then Shannon.
Well, I've been thinking about it through the week, and, you know, I can see myself in some of these disciples of how stubborn I am and not seeing what's in front of me, and wanting to believe but not really giving my whole heart yet, because I'm unsure and the uncertainty that they had. They knew that he was a Messiah, but yet they didn't fully embrace it. all the time. And then I'm like, you know, why do I question you? I know the Bible's true. I know what you did. Why am I so stubborn, you know, and not seeing that? And, you know, I'm like, you know, thank you for all that you did, all you suffered, because you suffered more than I have ever suffered. And right now my life's a dumpster fire, and I can't stop my whining, but he went through more, so why am I?
From chapter 2 on, just an FYI, this may speak to you, it may not, didn't mean. He's on a divine timetable. Because he started his ministry, and he knows he has roughly 3 years. And so everything he is doing is going to lead him to the cross. Every circumstance, everything. He will provoke conflict. He knows that they're going to, what they're going to do to him. I mean, you know, yeah. It was awful. Being a, you know, for example, having a superior Ohio State football team lose to Emory, Michigan. You know, it was awful watching that game yesterday. We didn't enjoy it at all.
Is that the one where they got a big brawl afterwards?
Yeah, I turned it off because it was just like, it wasn't enjoyable. I've been through games like that before, and I just was comforted by the fact there's no way Michigan should have won. Everything had to go this way. And God, your sovereignty worked all that out so that that happened, because everybody had them beating them big.
Is this recent?
So this is yesterday. My point being is that God is sovereign over every circumstance in his son's life. We know that. But this is where I remember it. He is sovereign over, you're on a divine timetable too. Think of it this way. You are immortal until the day you die. Nothing can change that. And just, you shift from your mentality, from a physical immortal body, to a, has already existed, a spiritual immortal body that will be reunited with a glorified body. But you are immortal. Nothing the enemy can do can change that.
Kill the body, but you can't kill resentment.
Well, it's that's just, we are all on a divine timetable. That means that everything that it comes into our lives is by the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Shannon, what is your aha moment?
I don't know aha, but I think the thing that I thought about probably the most was early on, about the light, about Jesus being the light. Because I think I've always thought of it as, you know, just this beacon who, you know, we're drawn to, but it's actually life. And I love the first, you know, 5 verses of the, you know, beginning that I memorized it, because I just love, you know, the light. Light of the light of men. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I always just kind of thought of it as kind of a vague, you know, light. But I don't know. It's just, it's more. He is just light. I mean, that's life. And what else did it? You had said something. Christ is to the souls of men like the sun is to the world. So, and the true light gives life to everyone. And the light, and we're supposed to be light as well. So just that whole, I was just drawn to the light, what it means, how much deeper it was than I originally thought it was.
Roger?
I cannot recall at will, and 5 minutes from now I won't remember any of this, or I won't be able to recall any of this, but when I'm writing things from my multi-mission page on Facebook, I have to trust the Holy Spirit to bring the words and stuff. And I'm learning more to not, to trust in Him and that, to trust the words that He's given me. That it's not necessarily me, and I'm afraid I'll write something that's in error. Because I don't know it. But I don't know it. participate. I just would have the past week or two, it's been coming more and more, realizing that it's not me, it's he. And it's just trusting him and trusting the words he gives me to write. It's just been a total increase in blessing.
Okay. Debbie George. By the way, Debbie, did you make those chocolate cookies last week?
I baked them.
You baked them? They were outstanding.
They were really good.
They were really good. I ate like too many of them. They were that good.
They were trying to perfect the recipe, and so he didn't know they were that good. And I kept saying, they are good.
So who you just baked them?
I bake them, but
he mixed it.
He mixes it, and he's looking for perfection.
Well, Lloyd, they were good, and so I'm expecting those for a Christmas gift. Okay?
Hear that, Lloyd?
And I want them once a month. It's the gift that keeps on giving throughout the year. Okay?
Unless you become the cookie of the month.
Yeah. No, they were so good, Lloyd. I told David was there. I told Lydia, these are rather your cookies. Lydia makes naturally just a good baker, like outstanding cookies. And we're all like, gosh, the first time he made these, and the boys were like, these are really good. So whenever she comes home, she usually makes me cookies. But these were like almost as, basically as good as hers were, and she didn't like that.
So, she's got competition.
Yeah.
Do you share the recipe, or is this his family secret?
No.
Or can you reset
it out?
Yeah, but did you mix it enough and then not remember what you did?
Well, it's cookies. Are they healthy?
But she made them, but when you bake them, they weren't soft. They were just crispy, which was like,
yeah,
outstanding.
They were good.
They were really good. But I'm hungry for cookies, so it's soft. Debbie?
Well, I found that in the last week, we dedicated more time to studying this two chapters, of Jesus and John the Baptist, witnessing it. Now that we have another person at our house that really gets into the Bible, and that's Dan, and we've had more time where we're not being busy with other things. And so we dive into the Bible, in the morning or in the night before going to bed. I think it just enriches my life.
Okay.
It makes me think more on what was happening for Jesus. And makes me stop, when I'm doing things or I'm thinking things or something comes up and I'm going like, stop.
Great.
I think that one of the things that's really struck me is a lot of times we watch programs like The Chosen or what have you, we see these miracles happen. There's water turning blind, blind men being able to see again and such. And it happens so quick while we're watching that, you don't get the depth of what really is behind the meaning of that. Going through this has really opened my eyes to realize, see some of the miracles and the blessings in my life that Jesus is blessing me with, just being able to understand a little bit more of where it's coming from. And, helps me put a little bit more emphasis on my prayer in the morning, just to thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me and pulling me out of the mess that I was in. So, and sometimes it doesn't happen quite as quickly as I would prefer. It gives me a little more hope for knowing that this isn't it. This is, we've got a lot more to live for.
Yeah. Lloyd?
I found some things that I misinterpreted in Scripture.
Okay.
And that was that one passage regarding John the Baptist that men believed in Jesus because of him. And I took the him as being Jesus, but it was actually referring back to John, so that's a correction in English, because English is my second language. You know, my first language is grunting and pointing.
I can decipher that.
Caveman?
Sharon's face is red. She's like, look there.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
You don't expect that from Lloyd, so.
No.
It's very serious.
Yeah, that was very serious. But it's just like in we were going through chapter 2, and then we had some issues with it because of the cleansing of the temple. And that was just a couple days ago. And
we haven't done it
yet. I know, but we went through it, and then it just, and I forgot an old commentary I had heard, I don't know, 30 years ago. It wasn't that, because I always think of it as being toward the end, whereas Matthew put it right toward the end, the cleansing of the temple, but this is right in the beginning. And well, he did it twice. He was just, and that's where the zeal was. His disciples were there. And then we reviewed the what's going on, you know, with John, because I thought that he was being baptized at the time John was speaking to the leaders. He was baptized 40 days before that. So we were going back through that and just kind of piece it all together chronologically. But you know, where John was in his time regarding the rest of the Gospels. So that we kind of went through that. Said in the word, what we were reading into it that wasn't there, so that was really hurtful that we were studying. So it was sort of coming from that aha moment, you know. Light, because you go all the way back to Genesis and the light, but you also look at it in Revelation. Light into existence, you always have the science issue of how fast light comes. But I have the dark creation of the universe, so that's slowing down, which would make sense. There is degradation causes decay. So yeah, it's slowing down, but it was instantaneous. There would rather be light, so it's in every place. That was all at once. So how does it travel?
John the Baptist, we'll close with this. John the Baptist has a ministry, right? And how many people were following him? Do you remember this?
Multitudes.
Probably thousands and tens of thousands of people coming baptized by him. He was a popular guy. That was why he was one of the first witness. We believe that, John, the Apostle John, brings up. Okay. What was he preaching?
Baptism.
His baptism was one of repentance. What was he preaching? He was the prepared the way for Jesus Messiah. Look, hold him. Look at him. Follow him. So he was preaching Jesus. Okay? Now let's take that and let's. This church shuts down and you gotta go to another church. What's your criteria for going to a new church? This church shuts down, you have to go to a new church. What's your criteria?
Jesus.
What'd you say, Marie?
They're preaching Jesus.
There we go.
Jesus. Jesus is the light. Yeah. Jesus is the Messiah.
It's all about Him. And everything points to Him. Okay? So, in 2020, with that cultural societal revolution, and churches got sucked into becoming both, particularly preaching what? A social gospel. Critical race theory, all of that. They stopped preaching Jesus and they started preaching.
But were they ever preaching Jesus?
Yeah. Well, David Platt was for a while. And so, if you're going to, just if it's all going to be about Jesus, then you're going to preach Jesus. And you're going to be talking about the things of Jesus He would never embrace. Local party that is in opposition to Him. Or is in opposition to righteousness, which are what He's all about. And so, this crazy political season, all what happened, you know, 4 years ago, and of course it was a narrative, because we're lied to as to why George Floyd died and all of that. We're lied to even about the vaccination and all. So there's other things that you can take out from this and apply it to your life. Behold Him. Look at Him. Worship Him. Okay? Which is basically what the next Advent sermon series is going to be about. He's coming again, right? He's coming, Advent season. We need to prepare for His coming. And that's what we're going to talk about. Looking at Him. Beholding Him. Being with Him, making Him, you know, the priority. And so, we've been given a lot of information. You're remembering very, very little of it. And that's not, I mean, this, the format is what it is. But a good teacher will at least try and extract it out of you and see where's God working in your life. At least she's honest for her, but it's probably a lot of us. We'll take it, we learn a few things, store it until we come back, and you know, refresh yourself. Unless you have a mind that actually remembers stuff. Yeah, so don't forget before that slips. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had aha moments while I'm in here.
Yeah.
But then I don't take those aha moments and go home and then go over again. Because that's, I start getting ready for the rest of my
week. The only thing I suggest, and I'll close with this, is that as you are, you want to really make this a part of your life, you want to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, or renewing your mind, then you need to practice the daily office. Remember that? What is that? Well, it's what Daniel did. We talked about it last week. What did Daniel do?
Went
up and prayed. How many times a day did he pray?
Three.
Follow the pattern of the thing of David. So he would pray, probably start morning off, get some focus right, do the work of a prime minister, lose some focus, go refocus and pray in the middle of the day. Do more work, lose the focus, refocus again, pray at night, morning, evening, night, go to bed, restart that cycle. That was probably so needy for him, required for him, that why did he require it? So constantly, Jesus constantly pulled away to be the Father. So we'll finish up, I think, hopefully chapter 2 next week. Okay? Well, I thank you for this time. As we prepare ourselves for communion, and for worshiping, and for learning, we ask that you would meet us where we are. You bless us with your presence. Again, make us sensitive to Spirit's leading in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
What is 22nd?
Depends on how it breaks down.